Welcome to Rambling Nerds. My name is John Nielsen, and I am one of your hosts.
And I'm Josh Rivas, and I'm his co-host.
And we're going to ramble.
We're going to ramble at you for a little bit, straight into your ear hole.
It's going to be good.
Actually, I came back from the store, and I bought the Game of the Year edition of Arkham Asylum.
Oh,
I
yeah?
Really wanted to, like, yeah, my dad actually has Arkham City, and he was having some trouble. He was having some trouble playing through some parts of it. He got stuck like 15 minutes in. No, it's crucial to note that he hasn't played an Arkham game like ever.
He didn't play the first one.
So I think that was part of the problem. They expected him to like kind of know some of the platforming, and he couldn't figure out like. I was weird. But I decided to get the first one because, A, I wanted to play it again. B, my older brother hadn't played through it.
Bless you.
And C, I wanted to give my dad a taste of it, especially because he's a big fan of Metroid and Super Metroid. And I felt like Arkham Asylum really followed that formula. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would probably be a better experience for him to try first.
Now, you got the special edition? What?
Yeah, it's the Game of the Year edition.
Oh, does that
I don't
mean
think
anything?
There's anything extra.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. It's got a sweet cover.
Yeah.
Other than that.
Game of the Year edition usually doesn't mean anything, I don't think. Like, on the PlayStation, they were to release, like, the greatest hits,
mm-hmm.
you know? But all that meant is the cover was different.
Yeah. Well, the Arkham City one, though, it comes with all the DLC.
Oh, well, that's... Oh, well, that makes it special, then, Josh.
So, yeah, cool, the Arkham City one does, and I already have the copy of Arkham City that isn't that one, which makes me sad because I really want to play the Harley Quinn's Revenge or whatever the hell it is. Like, it's supposed to be really good, and you get to play as Robin for a little bit.
Yeah, through actually like some story missions, because I think you could play as him before, but only in the challenge missions or something like that.
Yeah, you don't get an actual plot point with him.
But now you do. Yeah,
I do.
It's gonna be awesome. They figured out how to make him look totally rad in that game.
Yeah, he did look kind of useless in the cartoon. He was just
Batman's
all intimidating.
They made him older, and he's got this really cool cowl.
Yeah,
and he just looks menacing. I guess I don't know. He looks cool. Is that how he looks in the comics, or did they just figure that out for the game? What does he look like right now? Isn't it like Damien, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Damien. And
he's a kid.
He's still got the domino mask.
He's a kid.
Yeah, he's still got the domino mask, but he has more of a cowly cape because he's a very serious Robin. It's the first Robin they've shown with a, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And then I think Tim Drake is Red Robin right now, and we've got Nightwing still going.
Who's Nightwing? So first
Nightwing
is
Dick Grayson.
Right. So why Red Robin? Why So what, when Damian showed up, he upgraded to Red Robin? Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
Or no, he was like Batman for a while, right?
Yeah.
Batman
died with quotation marks. Dick Grayson was Batman, and He took up the mantle and Damian became his Robin, and that's it had a really great, awesome change in formula where Dick Grayson was a kind of like carefree Batman.
Yeah, they flipped
flipped the personalities.
That's pretty cool.
And it was really cool.
I'm still kind of confused though because it's like continuity. This is so weird.
Well, that's kind of how it goes with comics.
Yeah, that's just how comics are nowadays.
They just,
I guess.
They're going to let deal with it.
Except for, well, I guess they changed it up with the new 52s, right? They kind of simplified it, I guess? I don't know. Because they still follow, like, the canon, but it's stripped down, I guess? I've only read the Batman. I haven't read the other new 52s. So I can't really say.
I don't know. It's, I keep hearing that all new 52 ones are still suffering from the same problems that the other ones had.
Oh, really?
Like, DC had been really tumbling down with their storylines because it's been done. Like, a lot of stuff has been done, and it's very hard to continue to explore these characters without introducing new characters. And they tried to do the New 52 thing and start over, but they seem to be dwindling into these archetypes, except for Batman, which is one thing that I'm really thankful for, because, well, when you think about it, Batman lends itself to more stories. I mean, Penny Arcade kind of made fun of that, how Superman's solution to everything is throwing it into the sun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really true. It's like, he overpowers things, and the only really great Superman stories come from examining what the human condition is for Superman.
Yeah.
And they don't do that a lot. Yeah. Like, that's why I love Superman graphic novels, but not Superman.
Yeah, the self-contained stories that don't necessarily strictly follow the canon of the comics. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing.
I mean, we both read Kingdom, and that was a great Superman story.
Uh-huh.
Like, Kingdom Come was awesome. But that's because it examined what life would be for Superman after he stopped.
Kind of retired, yeah.
It was his version of The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. You can say that. Superman was pretty good in that one, too. He didn't do a lot, but he was pretty good.
He did a lot in terms of the idea. I mean, I'm starting to understand what people see in Superman. Okay. I like the idea that Superman represents the best in humanity. I like that. But I also especially like stories that involve him with other superheroes, where he's lawful good, and he can't ever see the solution dipping into neutral. There's no such thing for that as him. And he has to realize that because he's so perfect, he doesn't get the imperfection of humanity. Like, he doesn't understand why criminals commit crime. He just punches them in the face. Batman understands.
Just show me who to punch.
Yeah, Batman understands. That's why he says, you'll never be able to help them the way that you need to help them. Like, you do what you do very good, very well, and that's, you represent what we could be, and I am cleaning up the mess of what we're not supposed to be.
Hmm.
You can tell a lot more stories with Batman than you can with Superman. But they're starting to get there. They're starting to figure out how to make those comics tick, which I really like.
Well, I think that's just the thing about Superman. He's just really hard to write well because of his power set and just the way his character was set up. But he is, you know, like the original superhero. And back then, characters didn't have the deep backstory and all of those things that are necessary now. He beat up the bad guys and saved the day. That was what superheroes did.
Yeah.
That was it.
I think the mistake was that they made that so iconic of him. You know what I mean?
I guess.
It's like all his whole superhero set, that's what made him iconic. Whereas Batman, what made him iconic was revenge.
Like, revenge.
His vendetta against crime. That was what made him Batman.
My parents are dead.
He could pull out whatever gets, whatever, you know. Because his toolset changes with whoever writes him.
Yeah.
You know, at one point, he could have, like, a bat taser. Or something that gives him, you know, stealth or whatever. Or he can analyze whether or not people are lying just by staring at them with his cowl mode.
Didn't he go crazy with, like, guns in one version?
Yeah, they're actually correct. They did an awesome article about the craziest Batman reboots. It's really funny.
Yeah.
And then other versions of Batman have shark repellent spray in his utility belt.
Yeah.
And it's all campy and weird.
Yeah, he's...
You can't do that with Superman because it's like he'll always be the same repertoire, except for a few stories, like whatever happened to the Caped Crusader.
I haven't read that. Is that good? That's the Batman. That's the one where Batman... like, dies, right?
There's another one. It's like, whatever happened to the Man of Steel.
Oh.
And then Neil Gaiman.
Those are different
whatever
ones.
Happened to the Caped Crusader. Yeah, there's different ones.
Neil Gaiman.
Whatever happened.
He did the Batman one.
right. The Batman one. I can't remember who did the Superman one. But that they follow the same vein where it's like you get to examine the life of Superman after he's dead. And it's really cool.
Yeah, are those good? I haven't read those.
The Batman. They're good. I'm not gonna spoil anything about them, but I think anyone who appreciates Neil Gaiman, or Gaiman, and I think it's pronounced actually, any of his short stories will really love this Batman story. It ends on a very, the same way all of his stories. And you really have to ponder the entire story in itself, but it leaves on a very light note, and it's awesome. You can't really forget that, you know, once you've read it.
Sure. I don't know a lot about comics. I make comics. I don't really actively read comics, which might seem kind of weird. I'm really not that deep into it. Like, I don't keep up with all the newest storylines, and I don't buy comic books, and I don't know all of the artist names, and I like to make them.
It's kind of weird. And usually has this thing where he'll hear about a graphic novel and he'll read just that graphic novel, or I'll pass one to him and that I think is awesome and he'll read it. Like, that's what happened with Kingdom Come. I passed that along and then I told him about Red Sun.
It was the other way around, Josh. I told you about Kingdom Come.
You told me about.
You told me about.
But
Red
I told
Sun.
You about Red. Yeah, and he told me about Kingdom Come.
Yeah, I saw.
And
Kingdom
that
Come
was awesome
at,
because like.
I saw Kingdom Come at Barnes and Noble, and it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best. Russian Batman.
Yeah, Russian Batman.
Russian Batman. Yeah. It's,
anyway.
Yeah, it's the one. I'm the one that usually tries to keep up with the comic arcs.
Yeah, you actually
and
read Super
Hero. And I read manga. I read manga a lot.
I read some webcomics. Not a lot.
Yeah, you. Well,
I don't have.
You've already refined. I have very few that I read right now.
Yeah, I only have a couple because every time I find a new one that I want to read, I end up having to go through the entire archive, and I just never get around to doing it.
Yeah,
because. So much.
Yeah. It's funny because our comic, it always is the case that whenever somebody new finds it, they read through it in like a night. The entire archive.
They'll leave a comment. And they'll say that, yeah. Which is neat. That's pretty rad.
I love that. I love that they can actually.
I used to be able to do that. I did that. I've done that before. Mm-hmm. Not in a while, though. Well, yeah. So what are you up to, Josh? I don't think I've actually talked to you since the last podcast. Or something like
that. Yeah, it's... Well, essentially, I've been working, and I've been interning at a place.
At a place.
And while I'm working there, I've been working on my novel. I've been pushing...
How's that novel going, Josh?
Pretty good. I still gotta work out a lead-up to my ending. But
you know what the
first
ending
draft
is though,
is
right? You have the ending all written out.
In like sentences. I don't have it complete. Okay. I don't have it written out in paragraphs, but I have bullet points.
You just kind of gotta connect everything all together.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially.
What's neat is I've got the characters to a point the same way I would do with Massive Pwnage, where I get their dialogue down. I didn't have that before, like 3 weeks ago, where I understand how they speak.
I see.
And that's a crucial part of my process where I have to be able to think in their voice and look at like situations with their perspective. And I can do that now.
I think that's kind of the definition of writing.
Yeah.
That is being able to be your characters essentially.
And I've done something that I while I was writing that I don't ever usually do. It's weird. A lot of writers don't write this way, but I write chronologically. I write the story from beginning to end.
I thought you didn't do that anymore.
No, I do. I did it with my thesis, but I did it. It's different because I wrote block points in an out of order. I didn't write it. I after I wrote the block points, I still wrote it chronologically.
Oh, well,
I went,
all right.
I skipped to the ending, wrote it, and then connected them. This time with this novel, I actually hit a wall, and I couldn't figure out how to progress. So instead, I jumped a chapter forward, and I continued writing from that point. So there's this gap.
So you do jump around a little bit.
There's I'm experimenting with it.
Sure.
Yeah, I experimented with it, and it's so far it's getting me to progress. I'm getting that word count, and I'm not sure how to link them together quite yet. But a lot of other writers do this more often than you think. So it's like the way to write. They're like, no, you got to have that pacing. So it doesn't matter where you're writing from. You just got to keep going. And I never believed in that. I always thought it's like, no, then the story won't make sense, and I'll have to write more drafts, and I'm lazy.
So, you gotta do it the right way, Josh.
It was.
You gotta do it right.
Yeah, exactly. So I ended up trying that, and it worked out great. This is starting to go. It's starting to get there.
Well,
I'm hoping to get draft done soon.
Soon-ish. Soon TM.
Soon-ish.
Trademark.
I'm still waiting on that. The confirmation on that short story I wrote, though, I sent them an email and said, hey, I'm still waiting on that, but
great
song.
Write another one, and then send them that, and then just all of your stories are constantly tangled up in the web. Just write more stories.
I had an idea for, like, a short story that I would have tried, but I never really sat down to attempt it, so the idea kind of fizzled.
I see.
Sucks.
You lost the excitement of it.
I lost it.
That happens to me a
I may
lot.
Have lost my,
spark.
Comic
it's
ideas.
Gone. Yeah, it's gone forever. Because you didn't run them down.
It sucks. It
happens to me a lot. Yeah, I get excited about a new project, but if I don't start it, like, almost right away, then it'll just kind of fizzle. Which is unfortunate, because I'm busy on other stuff. I can't just stop and start making something new.
Mm-hmm.
But it does happen sometimes. Like, I really wanted to make, what is that arcade system? It's called Name, I think. Is that what it's called? The arcade thing that people will just make characters and mod instantly, endlessly. I wanted to make a Massive Punish one. It was going to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
But it never happened. Because I don't know how to animate. That is, that sounds like a lot of work.
You will. Playing with the idea of trying out Flash, teaching
yourself
Flash.
Yeah, I will someday. Just like basic stuff. Well, I actually kind of already know basic stuff. Like, I know how to go from frame to frame and whatnot. Just the real basics. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. Once I learn it, I
did work a lot.
You what?
You did work a lot with animation. Like, back in high school. But that was more like 3D animation.
Oh, yeah, that was 3D modeling.
That was fun. That was.
Yeah, I thought for a long time that I wanted to be a 3D modeler. I don't know why I changed my mind, but I did that for, like, probably 2 straight years. That's pretty much all I did, was just 3D modeling.
Yeah. He had this really awesome, like, walk cycle with a Goomba, and that was really awesome.
That was a cool Goomba. He was angry.
In fact, the quality of the Goomba, it pretty much looked like something you would have seen, like, years later with Mario Galaxy. Like,
I guess.
He really sat down and
curved
it out until it looked like a next-gen Goomba.
I wasn't good at doing texturing, though. I could never really figure that out. I could make it so it's passable, but I don't know. It's hard.
It's funny, because we thought about, like, going into game design for a very long time.
You were almost a programmer, right?
Yeah. I went to community college before I went to Linfield, and I took programming classes there. And I think it got to the point where I passed that class, with flying colors. And my heart just wasn't in it anymore. Like, I had no fun figuring out new programming languages, and it didn't really feel like something I wanted to do. I wanted to design games. But once I started looking at what was necessary and looking at how much it didn't really pay off to get into the industry at the moment, it just fizzled. I'd rather write about games or potentially write a game later on down the line.
Yeah, because you were always kind of a writer first, right? More or less.
That's always been what I wanted to do. So I never. Once I saw how much work it would be and
too
how
much, work.
Much I would be putting off my writing, I decided it wasn't worth it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm happy that I went this way.
Well, that's
I'm
good.
Happy that
that's,
I...
As long as you're happy, Josh. That's all that matters.
Eh. Oh, man.
What else are we talking about?
So did you see the Oculus Rift?
Is that the 3D thing?
The headset device?
That's the 3D thing.
Yeah, it's a...
The virtual
reality. Yeah, it's a 3D head, the VR device. We're getting there, man. We're getting to that point where you jack in and
finally,
it's like Mega Man Battle Network.
Jack into the Matrix and just
you're in there.
Yeah. Well, actually, I don't think you want to be in the Matrix because it wasn't all that cool in there. It's like, if you had powers,
no.
If you have the powers, then it's totally rad. But if you're just a normal guy in the Matrix, then it's just real life, and then it's boring.
I was actually discussing this. I was discussing this with someone. Why is it a problem that we're jacked into the Matrix?
What do you mean?
I don't see the downside.
Well, if you know that you're in the Matrix, then you get superpowers, and that's always a plus. But if you don't know you're in the Matrix, then you're just normal. And
if you would have asked me, 5 years ago, which pill I would take if Morpheus gave it to me, the one to get out of the Matrix or one to stay in, I would stay in.
You don't.
And the reason being, it's like
you don't want to live in the cold future where there's no beds and not really any food. You just got to eat goop and you huddle with other refugees in the underground robot city.
Yeah,
you don't want to do that.
Yeah. No.
No, you don't.
You're telling me I have to give up chimichangas and steaks and churros, ice cream, and soda for the truth? No, I'll take the lie. I'll take the lie every single time. Sounds shallow, I guess. Like, like really? I get to live in a future where there's nothing.
Like, but you get to have like cave rave parties. That was a part that happened.
Yeah.
And
cave parties and mechs. That's the only good.
The only thing.
You
might get
awesome.
To drive mechs. One of those mechs, those robot suits.
But I can wait. I can do that here.
I don't know. Maybe.
I could play a video game about it. It'd be the same thing.
Oh, I got into the alpha for Hawken. Have you seen that game?
Oh yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. Yes.
Totally rad. I actually, I don't think I can talk about it because I think I'm technically under an NDA. Because it's not even the beta, it's the alpha.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty cool though,
I'm
like it.
Looking it up right now.
It's awesome. Really just I don't want to say it's a Call of Duty. It's a first person shooter deathmatch game. Battlefield. Call of Duty. Only you're in giant mechs.
Yeah.
And, like, an endless customization for your mech. What?
And I'm really sorry about this, but I got into the Firefall beta.
Oh, I don't want to hear that. Why did you tell me that makes my news.
And you know what? And I haven't even downloaded it yet.
Did you just now find out?
No, I got it 2 days ago.
Earlier? Oh.
Stormcaller gave me a key.
Good for you. That's nice. That's cool.
Oh, I'm
so happy.
Sunny Strait actually emailed.
Oh, Sunny
Strait actually emailed.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. He said thanks for the link. He said it was awesome and he had a lot of fun with us.
That's cool.
I'll forward it to you. It was like a really brief message, but it was really nice that he got back to us.
Finally.
No, don't be mean. He's a busy guy. I think he had two other cons after it.
Answer your emails. I mean, come on.
Don't be mean.
I am
no, he was a
I'm really just, cool guy. I just have really a lot cool of guy. Pent-up aggression about Firefall right now, okay? So, I don't need...
Yeah, what's this podcast going to be called? Like, Josh Rivas ruined my life.
Firefall ruined my life. Because I didn't Firefall get to play it. I didn't get to play it early.
I'm disappointed.
Okay, well, you have to bring your laptop over so I can watch, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the game I've been looking forward to for a while. I will play it. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
It's all MMO-y, right?
Yeah.
Right.
As far as I'm telling, it might be just what is like a, it might be like another Global Agenda.
Oh, really? Well, Global Agenda wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
It kind of lost my interest after a while.
I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I kind of lost my interest after a while. But it wasn't bad.
Me too. But, yeah.
But yeah, anyway. I am excited, but I don't really get too excited about games nowadays, because then I'll just make myself sad, you know? I stay away from all the news and trailers and stuff like that. Because then, like, with Borderlands, I really want to play Borderlands 2, but I actually know very little about the game. I don't even know what the classes are or anything. I haven't looked that much into it. I already know I want to play it. Gaining any further knowledge will just make me want to play it more.
Yeah.
And then I'll just explode.
No, there are times where I'm exactly like that. Like, I tried not to learn anything about Torchlight at all.
Yeah, because then it'll be a surprise, too. And that's always fun.
Yeah, and it was really great once we managed to get it, so.
Yeah, we should play that.
And that's a good thing. Like, I try.
We should play that when we're done.
Yeah, we really should. Unfortunately. I actually, like, while I was waiting for my D&D Encounters group, I started up another Berserker.
Okay.
Oh, man.
What is that?
I started up another Berserker. That was my phone. That was my phone. It alerted me. I had another voicemail. Someone's trying to call me, and I sent them a message. It's like recording a podcast, and they still recorded it.
My phone is on silent. So.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
Anyway. But I started a Berserker on Veteran. It's a lot more fun.
Awesome. We're talking about Dungeons and Dragons again.
We are talking about Torchlight, and I made a new Berserker. Berserker, and I upped the difficulty from normal to Veteran.
Right, because Tycho made that post.
Yeah, so I read it, and I was like, maybe, let's see. Like, is it more fun?
It has been kind of easy, I guess. Yeah, maybe I should try it on hard. I didn't even consider that. Can you turn it up within the game, or do you have to start a new game?
I don't know if you can in-game. I am totally willing to start again.
I don't know. I guess we could. Because, yeah, now that I think about it, it has been kind of... Like, we have died, like, a couple times, usually because someone would run forward and gather the entire room's worth of mobs. I'm not going to say who.
I'm sorry about
that. But it was Josh. And then somehow all of them... I don't know how you do it, but you managed to pass aggro to me? I have no idea how that keeps happening.
It's because you deal more damage than I do.
You think it goes by WoW mechanics?
Yeah, I think so.
I
think so, because I've done that in a party.
That could be it. Yeah, I just unload all of my AoE damage, and they just come straight for me.
Yeah, I played my bow guy with online with a party on Veteran, because I joined up one on Veteran.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we could probably do that. Same thing. Yeah, I guess you can. And so I'm playing that guy, and I had that really nice bow that you passed along to me, and they were doing old missions. So I went back. Even though the Berserker was right in their faces, they would just keep coming after me, because I was just blowing them up.
That's cool.
And, yeah, I think it works by damage. Oh, they actually have an armory. Like, a Torchlight 2 armory.
You, like, you
yep,
can
they don't track... No, you can search for weapons. You can't check other players, but you can search for, you can look at the stats of all the legendary weapons that are super rare.
Okay.
And they just look so rad. Like, I was looking at all the two-handed swords for the Berserker, and they're just super awesome abilities.
Sure.
Like, one of them is like, you get health regen based on how many enemies are around you.
Huh. That's interesting.
Like, for every enemy that's around you, you have 35 health regen. And it's cumulative, so it keeps stacking.
That's cool.
So you just, you only have the best regen when you're throwing yourself into the mosh pit.
You're
that
charging
is,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So it just sounds rad.
Torchlight. I haven't even been playing it. I guess you've been playing it a ton. I haven't been playing it all that much. I mean, it's cool.
Oh.
It's alright. I mean, it's fun.
But I haven't played. There was a really funny post. Takahata was talking about League of Legends the other day, and he was like, he's like, I haven't played League of Legends in 2 days,
yeah,
and
I
my blood
that.
Pressure has already gone down. And then I responded, and was like, I haven't played League of Legends in 3 days, and I've already adopted 3 orphans. Like, life is so much better when I'm not raging.
Yeah. That makes sense. I could see how that could, how those two things correlate.
So much better.
Anyway.
Oh, speaking of League of Legends, is the voting still up? Can we use this?
Have you been voting every day? Because you can vote every day, you know.
Every day? I thought you can only vote once.
Come on, Josh.
I'm going to vote right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote right now for this awesome comic that we did for this contest.
I have a link to if you go to the Mass Opponage Facebook page, like, the link is on there, and the link is, like, on my Twitter, and it's in your Twitter. So people should be able to find the link. But, yeah, they're doing the League of Legends comic contest voting. So I think you guys should probably go there and vote for your favorite, and I think you know what to do.
You know what's funny? It's, like, 80% of these have Teemo in it. It's not that many, but a lot of them do.
99%.
Teemo is just, all of them almost always have Teemo or Draven. And it's really great, because it's just like, he's joke, they're both joke fodder.
Yeah, I guess. It's so weird. Some of them are pretty good. It's weird, though, because a lot of them don't really, I mean, have them being a joke wasn't a requirement, but a lot of them is just like, it's like, what, I like, the images were cool, but what was the point? I don't understand. Like, it'll just be one of the grand prize number one winners, which there were two number ones, is Brand finds Anivia in the jungle, and then he tries to attack her, but Anivia freezes Brand. And that's it.
Yeah, because she has blue.
But that was
blue.
It.
That's it.
I just,
I know.
It was really cool. The art was really good. But I didn't get it. I guess there was nothing to get. They just, Brand got frozen.
Well, I mean,
that was it.
I mean,
I don't know.
The point was for them to be wowed. It wasn't so much that it was supposed to be really funny.
Yeah, that's what I said.
One of the reasons why I really like.
It wasn't a requirement
really
for
like the
comics to have a punchline.
Yeah.
That wasn't in like the rules. It just seems weird to me because it just doesn't seem like there's a point other than the cool images, which I guess could be a point enough for most people. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
I mean, like, that's one of the reasons why I really liked the World of Warcraft comics on their site, because a lot of them aren't funny. They're just rad. They're just really neat art.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. And, I mean, our punchline for the Clam comic or whatever, it wasn't necessarily like the ha-ha punchline. It was more like a rib. They thought it was hilarious.
That one was mine. Well, I mean, no, there was a point to the comic, though. It wasn't just two characters fighting or something. Like, there was a commentary.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's really weird to look at this context from our standpoint.
Because we actually
make
comics. Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, yeah, it's just a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else, they did it wrong. We're doing it right. What's the problem here? Why aren't we winning?
Yeah.
there actually are some really good ones. Like, did you see the one with Tristana and Teemo?
Yes, that one.
Teemo disappears to avoid paying the dinner bill. That one's amazing.
That actually is.
I hope that one. I hope that one wins because that one's amazing.
Yeah, that one is amazing. I kind of felt sad that I didn't.
Yes. It's like, why did you think of that, Josh? How come you didn't write that one?
Because I'm terrible.
Because you're not any good.
I'm terrible.
You're bad at the writing. Well, maybe I should go make comics with that person then.
Oh, no. That's not me. We did actually have a comment, question this week.
Oh, yes, we did. You want to go ahead and...
Yeah, let's go into that one. This one's from Gris.
Yeah, it's from Gur. Who asked? He actually sent in a question.
Another question. Why don't you read it for us?
Okay, I think there's like a lag because we keep talking over each other. I'm gonna blame you on that.
Yeah, there might be.
Because there's no lag on my end. That's for sure. I don't have the problem. Someone else does. Gur asks, what games would you like to see crossed over? ? Do you want to go first, or I got one. I got one ready. Do you want to go first? Because you have an answer.
I'm going to read the... I'm going to do mine.
Okay.
I'll read it entirely because it has some context to it, but my answer does. Because he has another one he had this lead up. And it says Pathfinder has a beginner's box. Hill has 9 layers. The Dungeon of Graves, Rathan Athoth, has been converted to Pathfinder. Pathfinder also has a Gunslinger class. And class archetypes that changes some stuff. What games would you like to see crossover?
Yeah, see, I was only focusing on that last sentence.
On crossover games, yeah.
You do your Pathfinder
So my Pathfinder answer is, I've seen a lot of it so far. I've been watching some people play it at the local shop that I've been going to, but I haven't played it yet. But the one thing that I really like about it is how distinct each different class is. One thing that I'd like to see is a campaign setting using the Pathfinder system that's cyberpunk. So like Shadowrun, if you've ever played Shadowrun.
Have you looked it up? Is there one? Is there a cyberpunk setting?
No, I don't think so. Pathfinder
still
is...
Not an official one.
Yeah, but because Shadowrun, they're going to come out with another Shadowrun tabletop game. They're renewing it, which is going to be awesome, and I really want to try it since I've been on a cyberpunk kick lately.
Well, that's what your novel's kind of is, right?
Yeah, my novel's a cyberpunk novel, so so I really want to see that in Pathfinder. What would that look like? And also, I want to see sort of like like an Arkham Horror convert of Pathfinder.
What do you mean?
Like Cthulhu Mythos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like
the
modern,
really
you have guns.
Mythology.
Yeah.
Monster mythology.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So what's your answer? What games would you like to see crossed over?
Yeah, my answer to the question there at the end, what games would you like to see crossed over? Pokemon and Skyrim. That's what I want to see.
Oh! That would be the raddest mod. So wait, like it's actually in the same setting with all the races and stuff, and it's like...
No, I think what it comes down to is just, you know, what everybody else wants to see too, is just a 3D virtual world, a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
In a 3D virtual world where you just journey the landscape and catch them Pokemans and get them gym badges and be the master.
You know,
that no one ever...
That would also be... That would be an interesting idea to see what the Pokemon world was like before civilization.
Oh, you want to go in the past and do a prequel, kind of like Knights of the Old Republic, only Knights of the Old Pokemon League. I don't know.
Well, think about it.
Need to work on
there
that.
Was probably there were probably Pokemon that were already like they were friendly with humans.
Sure.
But how do you like imagine if that's what you did. You crossed the country.
Are you
protecting yourself from Pokemon that would randomly attack humans?
That's more Pokemon. Like,
more Pokemon. It's like, well, you know, you're walking across the country and Aerodactyls suddenly come out of nowhere and pick up your caravan and try to thrash it because you've got food in there. You know, and you got to fight them off with your Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's totally brutal. Brutal.
Let me just paint this world for you.
Yeah.
Just imagine. Close your eyes and imagine if Pokemon were real. Yeah, I don't remember which movie it was, but they went back in time and hung out with Professor Oak when he was a kid. Do you remember which movie that was? Serebii, maybe?
No, but I remember that.
Is that
one.
His name? Kid Professor Oak had like the old style Pokeballs where it had like a crank on it. You had to crank the Pokeball before you could throw it.
That's funny.
Did you see that? That was really funny.
I think I heard about it. I didn't actually watch it, but that's pretty funny.
Just the old style technology. Yeah, you had to like turn the knob or whatever before you could throw it, and the Pokemon could come out.
Back in our day, we had to crank our Pokeballs before we throw it. You and your kids with your newfangled lure balls.
Button. Yeah, the little button, they shrink down tiny, and you push the button. I remember they got rid of that after a while. I don't remember that being in the show after a certain point.
Well, when they pushed it?
Because the Poke,
it would grow.
They'd be tiny, and they'd either be on their belt or just in a bag, and they'd pick out the tiny little ball and push the button, and it's normal size, and then they'd throw it. But I feel like they got rid of that after a while, didn't they? I think they did, because I remember.
Yeah, it was always big now.
They were always
They reach behind their jacket, and then it comes out
they
big.
They just pull out the big one. Like, they just kind of changed that throughout the series. I don't know. Anyway, we're big Pokemon nerds.
I wish I knew more. Like, I always feel like you and Chica have a lot more expertise with it. Well, because you guys have played every single version.
I don't keep up with it anymore, really, but...
Yeah.
Yes.
But like, Chica's knowledge of Pokemon is pretty formidable.
Pretty vast.
No, you both... Yeah, I mean, you both have the some knowledge of, like, the stat... The behind-the-scenes stat
game.
It's where you're getting...
Deep. We got...
Effort points or whatever.
We got into this last time. The well goes pretty deep.
And I don't think I'll ever go down that far, but that's pretty cool. Like,
I'm not going down there. Well, I'm not following you down there. Forget that.
Well, I've already fallen down the D&D well. Like now I'm playing Lair Assault. Well,
the Magic the Gathering well.
I actually haven't played Magic in a while.
Yeah,
I was gonna go to the.
These are all wells.
Yeah.
That have fallen down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the next thing would come and lower down the rope. Like, you were in Magic the Gathering, and then Dungeons and Dragons will come along and lower down its rope so you can get out. But then you just fall down that well. I really like this well analogy.
I actually DM'd a session of next today.
You told me about it.
It was really good.
You mentioned it. Was that?
Well, no, like, I DM'd one for my family. Like, they wanted to play for a bit, my brothers and sister.
Yeah.
And my nephew. So they came over and they started playing, and it was awesome.
Did you win?
Like, they actually, I nearly did.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
You let them
They ended up barricading themselves inside a dungeon in a room, and they were seriously considering living there. They're like, okay, we'll just barricade the walls and we'll live here.
Okay.
It's like, we'll just hide from that hobgoblin that's trying to pound on the door. We'll ignore it.
And
we'll live with
what...
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, it's like, we'll live or
meet. What do you do if the characters just don't want to do anything anymore? It's like, nah, I'm going to retire and just live at this inn for the rest of my days. And all of the characters just don't want to adventure anymore. It's like, no, guys. I roll to get another drink.
Well, what you do is you burn down the inn. Like, you have bandits attack the inn, and they're like, no, I'll just die.
It's like, no.
Like, what are they going to do?
I don't feel like fighting these guys.
Oh, that was an interesting experiment. I think you told me about that, where there was that guy that played Skyrim and tried to get as far as he could without actually adventuring.
That was cool. I tried to find that again. I can't remember what it was called. It's really funny though, because it's just a blog, and the way he writes his non-adventures in Skyrim is really funny. He tries to just live in the world without doing any quests. Like, he'll just go into a mine and dig for a while, and then just sell what he digs, and then he'd go live in the inn and he'd go to the shop and buy some food, even though there's not, like, a hunger meter in it.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, that was fun. That was a fun read.
It sounds like, it's right. I really feel like doing that now, trying to be an artisan and not even deal with it, you know, just trying my hardest not to go ahead and play. Like, I've played a couple of games that way where I tried an obtuse way of winning. So I went through the first couple of bosses of The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, by not using my sword.
Right. Yeah, some people have done that. They went through the whole game just using bombs or just using a bow.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's incredibly hard, because the first boss fight, the only real option you have is to use your lantern. And if you run out of magic points, like if you run out of your magic meter, you have to restart, because you don't have enough to damage them all.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, yeah. Oh, man.
What else we got? What else is on the to-do list? I think we hit all
the
points.
I think we did. I think we're actually in a pretty good place. Yeah, we've rambled for quite a while. Once again, if you got a question you want us to answer, or something you want us to talk about, you should leave a comment on this web zone, on our next podcast post, and we'll get to it. We'll try not to botch our answers. Sorry, I don't have as much expertise in Pathfinder. But I hope to get more information on that soon.
Pathfinder questions. I don't know anything about it.
Pathfinder.
Yeah, and make you finally play it so we can talk about it.
Exactly.
More effectively. Hassle
me until I get into it. All right, you guys, but we'll see you next week.
I guess.
Thanks for listening, you guys.